Father, as we come today, we know that your word is mighty and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the deepest parts of our very being and existence, separating what is real, what is not. Oh, Father, today we pray that you would take your word and use it richly in our lives. And do work in us, Lord, this year. And do transform us. You have transformed us in the sense that you have saved us and delivered us. But the transformation is an ongoing thing as we yield to you on a day-to-day basis. And we pray, Lord, indeed that that transformation will be complete and that day by day we will be changed and transformed more and more into the image of your Son. That is our prayer for 2014. And if we, Lord, with your help, can make any progress in that area at all, it will be a wonderful year. We thank you, Lord. Take now your word and use it in our hearts today. Apply it to us individually according to where you know us to be. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. You think about the beginning of the year, everybody's thoughts now turn forward. I always wait for those holidays to be over in the sense of looking forward, because everybody gets, we all do, caught up toward the end of the year. It's natural, it's normal, and from about Thanksgiving right on through New Year's, we're just thinking about Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and all of that, and then it isn't until that one little click of the calendar, you know, and boom, and it's a new year. And now all of a sudden everybody's looking forward and everybody's going out and getting those treadmills and those, what is it, that all around gym thing that they sell and all of this stuff and maybe a new set of bathroom scales and all this stuff. Anyway, But we start, and it's just normal. It's not, but it's good. And like somebody said, you know, one day isn't really different from another. And, you know, the people have been doing wrong are probably still going to be doing wrong in 2014 and so forth. But nonetheless, it's always good to look forward, and it's always good to kind of evaluate where we're at and look forward. So, and thinking of the new year, you know, and all of this, and just thinking, you know, what lies ahead, I came across this little passage here in 2 Peter, and of course we know who Peter was. We know a lot of stories about Peter, don't we? And he's always an interesting individual to us, and from just being a kind of a crude fisherman, born about 5 or 10 miles from Capernaum up there at the top end of the Lake of Galilee, he met the Master, and that changed him. And then after the day of Pentecost, especially, he was just filled with the power of God. But his humility is seen in the fact that he's talked about a whole lot the first 10 chapters of Acts. And then after that, you only hear about him a little bit, because he obviously sort of stepped back at that point and let others take the lead. But he wasn't unaware of what was going on. And so we have these two little letters. They're called epistles, general epistles that he wrote. And in the second one, he mentions the fact that he's probably not going to be around too much longer. He figures his day of reckoning is coming pretty soon. And of course, tradition has it that he was crucified upside down, that he was crucified even as our Lord was. And he said, I'm not worthy to die as my Master did, so crucify me upside down. I don't know that, but I know he was ready to go. And I know he was ready to pay whatever the price was. And so, when we know that our time is short, then, you know, our minds begin to focus on the things that really matter and the things that are really important. And it is interesting, isn't it, how in those situations, isn't it true that we usually, once we get to that point, begin to kind of go back to the basics? Because the basics never change, and we've got to have the basics right. And we can achieve a whole lot in life and all of that, But we really do, you know, and somebody can have earned their PhD and who knows what in biology or in physics or whatever. But when they're home, mama's going to say, remember to put that jacket on before you go out. And so he's reminding these folks and he is encouraging them in their faith. So he starts out, as these letters always do, identifying who the letter's from and who the letter's to, because these letters were usually written on a scroll, and you didn't want to have to get all the way to the end of the scroll to see who it was from. And he says, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. So I take that to mean Christians everywhere. Would that include you and me, maybe? And he says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. And so that's where our abundance comes from. And then he starts right in. Now, he doesn't mess around. And, of course, he talks in language that we can all understand. So I've taken kind of in a way here in these notes and just kind of condensed this a little bit in some ways, but it's all based on the same passage. So if you're one of those that likes to follow along, fill in the blanks, maybe have something to take home, now would be the time to get that. And I put that little verse from 1 Peter up there at the top because you can see here how that he is always encouraging believers, you know. And so it was in the first letter as it is in the second letter. So in 1 Peter, he says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. So he's always egging us on to keep our focus on the Lord and to keep on keeping on, as we heard some people say, and to just keep on, and that's it. There are a lot of distractions in life, and there are a lot of things that come in life that can cause us to kind of get sidetracked or get discouraged or get whatever, but we just have to keep on keeping on. What was it that Yogi Berra said? It isn't over till it's over, and that is true of the Christian life just as it is true of everything else. Of course, Christian life isn't never really over, and the best is truly yet to come, because when we depart this world, then we're going on to the good stuff. But in the meantime, there is a battle to fight, as we saw illustrated in our children's sermon this morning, and there are battles to fight. And victory is wonderful, but victory comes at a price. Can I hear an amen? It comes at a price. And so the Lord's given us everything we need to win, but we've still, he's given us the whole armor of God, like it says in Ephesians chapter 6, but we've still got to use it. He's provided it, but if we don't use it, it's still not going to do us any good. So let's begin here with our basic observation. Now, this first one's kind of a long sentence, but it's kind of a condensation of some of what Peter shares with us here in this opening chapter of his little letter. Through his own power and glory, and limitless virtue, and in keeping with his divine purposes. We'll read that again. Through his own power and glory, and limitless virtue, and in keeping with his divine purposes, the Father has supplied us with everything we need to live godly and holy lives through our union with his Son. And that's what he says, starting right out. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. So the Lord has done this thing, He has provided it beginning to end. And when he saved us, he not only forgave us all of our past sins and all that and brought us into his kingdom and brought us into his divine family, but at the same time, he has furnished us and given us what I call the kit. He's given us everything that we need in order to succeed in this Christian life. Now, that doesn't mean it's just going to happen automatically, and that's the point of this whole passage. And it doesn't mean that we don't have something we've got to do. We can't earn our salvation, but we can't be detached and inactive either. We have to take some action. We have to be participants in this thing. And so he's provided it all. So if I'm not growing in my Christian life, if I'm not experiencing victory in my Christian life, I can't blame him. I can only blame myself because I have not done my homework. I haven't done the part that he has assigned to me. He told me that I should pray without ceasing. We had that in our Sunday school class this morning. Are you praying without ceasing? See. He told us that we should stay in the Word of God and be studying the Word of God. Are we really doing that? And then there's so many other things we could say, but we get slack. And then we wonder why things, you know, why things aren't going like they ought to go. But he's given us everything. It's all there. It's in the cupboard. It's all there. At home, we've got a cupboard. There's all kinds of stuff in there. My wife can go there and make some of the best meals there are. It's all right there in the cupboard. But until she gets busy in the kitchen, there ain't going to be nothing good to eat. But that's just an illustration. But that's more or less the point that he's making here. He's given me everything I need to live a godly and holy life. It's all there. All I've got to do is make use of it. It's all there. But he's not going to do that for me. He's provided it. But it's for me to avail myself of it. But it's his work. He's done it all. All right? But it's all through our union with his son. Until we're saved, you know, nothing happens. Now that we're saved, now he's given me everything I need. Number two, through our union with his son, the Father has made it possible for us to escape the corruption of this present evil world and share, I think the NIV word is participate, and share or participate in his own divine nature. Now that is solid teaching of Scripture. I am born with a sinful nature. I'm not a sinner because I sin. I sin because I'm a sinner. And I have been born with a sinful nature. And when he saves me, how many have heard that phrase, born again? We've taken that phrase and cheapened it down until it doesn't mean an absolute thing. When Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, he was talking to one of the most righteous, upright, well-intentioned, devout, pious Jewish men in Israel at that particular time. And he says, Nicodemus, if a man is not born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then later on, Nicodemus, well, what are you talking about? What do you mean, you born again? You can't get back in your mother's womb and be born again, can you? Jesus says, I'm not talking about that. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. And he does a spiritual transformation on us, and it is called the new birth, and it is a supernatural thing, and it is done in response to our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his atoning work for us when he gave his own life there on the cross for us. And based on that, I am now brought into the family. I am now born again, born of the Spirit, given spiritual life for the very first time, and along with it, given his own nature. And that, hey, that new nature is from him. That's his nature. Now, what would the nature of God do? Well, all the things that please God. And so, he's allowed us to participate. We're not divine. Don't go there. But he has made us, as his own dear children, participants and sharers in his divine nature. So that, like I think one person said, don't you still want to do this? No, the Lord took the want to away from me. I don't want to do those things anymore. It's no longer a struggle, you know, not to do certain things, because the Lord took the want to away from me. And that's what the Lord does, because the new nature doesn't have that. That's the old nature that has that. Number three, our proper response to what God has provided is to understand and appreciate why he saved us and chose us in the first place. And to be unwilling to settle for just, quote unquote, being a Christian. But to desire an ever closer and more productive walk with the Lord. He says down here toward the end of the passage, but whoever does not have them, and we'll get back to what some of those things are, is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. They have lost sight of why the Lord called them and chose them and saved them in the first place. Because if we really understand that and know that and appreciate that, then we're going to want to be growing, and we're going to want to be moving along in our walk with the Lord. Now let's go to number four. Advancing in our walk with the Lord is a process. And it happens through addition. Advancing in our walk with the Lord is a process, and it happens through addition. Now, I'm going to guess that just about everybody here in this building went to school sometime or another. And even if you didn't go to college, you probably finished high school. And even if you didn't finish high school, you at least made it to grade 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. But when you go to school, one of the early subjects that they start teaching you is math. And when you learn math, what's one of the first things that they teach you in math? What's one of the first things? Addition. And see, I love addition. Because addition, at least to me, is easier than all the other parts of the math. Subtraction, for me, was always a little harder than addition. Division was the hardest of all. Multiplication was a little harder than subtraction. And division was the hardest one of all. And I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to see any division in the church of God. But they teach you addition. And we say, 2 plus 2 equals 4. Man, you all are good. And I love addition because it's easy. And so growing in our Christian walk is a matter of addition, as laid out right here in this thing. And of course, addition, I also like it because when you add something, that means you have more. So that's a good thing too. Now, how many have ever been shopping? Okay. And when Barbara and I go to some of these places, like we're at Dollar Tree. How many know about Dollar Tree? They have baskets and they have carts. Guess which Barbara always has to have? Ah! She says a cart won't do. We just had that conversation the other night. We were out getting some stuff. She said, I got to have a cart. You know why she has to have a cart? Because she's getting ready to do some addition. And you're walking through that food line or whatever it is, and you take this and you put it in the cart. Isn't that right? Start out at the produce section. Bag of onions in the cart. Some celery in the cart. Back at the back. The grapes in the cart. Then you go down the vegetable aisle. We need some tomato sauce in the cart. You're adding the whole time. That's what you're doing. You're adding. You're adding. You're adding. Then they tally it up when you get up there to the cashier. But what you're doing is adding. And then if you have a little kid in your cart, they want to help you add. They see that box of cereal with the Cocoa Puffs on it. And they're like, yeah, I want that. And so we're going to add some more to the cart. And by the time it's over, you can hardly get all those grocery bags in the back of your car. But it's because you've been adding, see. You've been adding. And that is what the Christian life is all about. So when we get saved, we're saved. We're now a child of God. He's made me his child. I'm born. I'm alive. I have life now. But I am not everything that I'm going to be and not everything that he's going to make me if I'll cooperate with him. And he has now called me and chosen me, but that doesn't mean that that his work is done. In fact, his work is just beginning because now is when the addition is going to begin. And that is what Peter tells us. And he says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then he says his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. What has given us everything we need for a godly life? His divine power. Do you think that's enough? I think it's enough. Who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. We sang that this morning, didn't we? Standing on the promises. So that through them, through those great and precious promises, you may share or participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now he gets into the good part. For this very reason, make every effort to add. Is that what it says? Now, in the King James, it talks about, uses that word diligence, which is the word that Bennett was focusing on in the children's sermon this morning. Diligence. You don't hear that word a whole lot anymore. But diligence, diligence, diligence. Greek, spoudē, speed, diligence, dispatch, eagerness, earnestness is what it means. So I'm to have diligence. He saved me. Now, I'm to take what he's provided for me and given me, and I'm to show diligence in developing it and in adding to my basic saving faith. When faith here, he's talking about the basic saving faith that brought me to the Lord in the first place. That's wonderful. But if that's all I ever achieve, my life is going to be kind of barren. The warehouse is going to kind of be empty. The shelves are going to kind of be bare, and we want to get those shelves stocked up. That's more or less what we want to do. So, he says, add to your faith goodness. Arete. It's actually an interesting word. Its root means manliness, as in valor. Some translations say, add to your faith moral excellence. In the NIV, it says, goodness. In the King James, this is my favorite one, virtue. In some, it says, add character. Virtue, that's another word we don't hear a lot anymore. Virtue. And it is the same word when it says up above that He's given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness, by His own glory and virtue. It's the same word. So now that you're saved, add to your faith virtue. Not just saving faith, but moral excellence is one of the translations that we find in one of the modern translations. Add to your faith moral excellence. That's a good starting place. And then, are we done adding? Are we done? Not supposed to be done yet. And then to virtue, knowledge. How many are still learning more about the Lord? Learning more? Hope so. Learning more about the Bible? Learning more about the Lord. And again, that's a lifelong process. But, okay. So, virtue, and then add to that some knowledge, and then after the knowledge, what are we going to add now? Some self-control, because I tell you what, I can know a whole lot. I can get to the point where I can quote scriptures all over the place, and it sounds so wonderful. If I don't have any self-control, what kind of a testimony do I have? And self-control is even one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the things that God wants to work in me. Self-control. That's something that we don't, in our culture today, everybody just wants to go, just no self-control. Let's just, whatever I want, let's just do it, you know. Whatever it is, some self-control. And then, but where do we get that self-control? We get it from Him if we're operating this way. It's one of the things being added and that He's provided now through His divine power for me, now that I know it. And the knowledge, self-control. And the self-control, perseverance. Who wins the race? Well, there's one thing for sure, the one that stays in it. And perseverance. And then to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection or brotherly affection. And then what's the one on top of all that? Love. You know, God's love, the agape love. Now, here's what he says. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure. If you possess them in increasing measure. That you know why they're in increasing measure? Because you're adding to them. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's not His will to save me and then that I would just remain unfruitful. He wants to make me fruitful. He wants to make me productive. That happens through growth and through maturity. And the growth and the maturity happens through what? Addition. Now, I don't do a lot, but I do shop on the internet. And I have bought some things off of Amazon before. How many would admit to having been on Amazon's site at one time or another? You been on there? I love it because it's user-friendly, at least in my opinion. They make it easy. And you click on the item, and then you click on it, and then it comes up and it gives you the description and everything. And then there's this little thing over here on the right side about two-thirds of the way up, and it says, add to cart. and you go click on that mouse. And what happens? It's in the car. And then it says, continue shopping or go to checkout. So if you say continue shopping, then you click on the next item, and then after you've read about it and you think you want it, what do you hit? Add to cart. And when you get down to the end of it and you go to the checkout, you got this whole list of stuff like this, and then it tallies it up, and then you know the rest of the story. But it's that. That's exactly it. So here's our last thing on our thing today. Number five. What would you like to see added in your Christian life this year? Let's do a little shopping. Let's do a little addition. And let's see some things added. And see, the Lord, the beauty is, he doesn't limit me. It's based on desire to a great degree. What does it say? Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, the door will be open to you. So what are you going to ask him for this year, and what do you want to see added? And you can start with the easy stuff if you want to. That's fine. Or you can start with the hard stuff. What is it you struggle most with? Forgiveness? That is, forgiving others after he's already forgiven me of everything. Trusting him when the going gets rough and it looks like everything's going backwards instead of forward. Compassion, loving people. What is it? If it's in his storehouse, it's available to you for the asking, and it can be added. Now, where our little English Bible just says add, I couldn't believe this. I was looking at this in the interlinear. Two different long Greek words, and when we put it into English, we just say add. I don't want to bore you, but listen. Perisphero, to bear in alongside, to bring in besides. And I have a picture of a warehouse with a whole bunch of stuff, and here comes the forklift, and it's going to drop another one right here beside what's already there. Bringing it in. Bringing it in. And then the other one is epikoregeo, which is to furnish besides, to fully supply. So I tell you what, you read this in the Greek, it's a lot more, you know, gives you a lot more than just add. It's like be hauling it in. Be bringing it in and be hauling it in and be placing it beside what is already there. Be adding to the pile. And that's what we want to do in 2014. It's as easy as what? Addition. If it's only two things, Lord, these are the things I'd like to see you add in my life this year. And if you really want them and you keep them before him, do you think he'll do it? Oh, he'll do it. Because these are part of his divine nature. And they are given to you, it says here, by his divine power. See, if it depended on Amos Eby, my goodness, I'd never grow. I'd be stuck. I might even be slipping backwards. I might be going the other way. Or it might be an impossibility. It might be out of my reach. But because it's from him, and he's already provided it for me, and he wants me to have it, all I got to do is ask, really. And keep, you know, not just ask one time. Just keep asking, Lord, bear with me. Be patient with me. Keep working with me. And at this time next year, we would be able to say, these are the two or three things the Lord added in my life this year. And if he does, do you think as a byproduct of that, we'll be a little more fruitful even than we are today? Oh, yeah. Because that's really what it's all about to begin with. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today that you have provided everything we need by your divine power, based on your exceeding great and precious promises, based on all that which was purchased for us by Jesus when he died on the cross. Oh, Father, thank you for all you have made available to us. We want things. We want iPods. We want jackets. We want shoes. We want so many things. Oh, Lord, that we would want the stuff that you're offering us. And that we would want that more than we want these other things. And you want to do a lot of good things in our lives this year. I don't know what the year holds. I don't know what's coming. Probably there'll be some problems, some challenges, maybe some really real difficulties. But even right in the middle of that stuff, you can give us these things. And these things will bring us through victoriously. And in the process, we'll learn more about you and we'll love you more than we do today. And your character will begin to be more evident in us even than it is today. And thank you that it's not by our power, it's by yours. And that's why we can be assured you will do it. And it says that you are faithful and he has begun a good work in you, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Lord, this year, be working in us and be adding to our basic faith. We ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.